JC Corcoran Podcast.
My parents finally quit smoking, and they have smoked since the 1800s. Let me tell you, chain, Cools and Kents, chain smoking. And my mom wasn't going to quit. She's 63 years old. She was just going to smoke it out and see what happened. She was in for the long haul. And my dad's like, no, we have to quit. It's been 2 years since I've had a cigarette. But with my mom, I've never seen anyone so unhappy with a healthy choice. Like, she should do ads for the tobacco companies. Every time he leaves the room, as soon as he dies, I'm lighting a damn cigarette. I'm not saying I don't love him, but I am looking forward to having a cigarette. I can certainly tell you that. They're kind of hip. I got him a computer. They're very good at it now. Those first 8 months, woo-hoo. Wow. I bet I got over 500 emails from them that just said, is this working? So I would email back, no. They need the computer. They live in the middle of nowhere in Missouri. It's so far out. And they have a nice house on a lake, but they also bought some property, like 100 acres, that has a cabin on it that's been there since like 1904. There's no running water. There's no electricity. And every time they raise the terrorist alert on TV, my mom will call and go, if anything happens, we're all meeting at the cabin. I'm like, you know what, Mom? I would rather have a nuclear bomb shoved directly in my eyeball than try to live out the end of the world with you and Dad in a cabin. It's very rural, Missouri, where they are. My brother lives there. He's 28. He went to go get a hunting license. And when you go to the building, they had two rooms, one for readers, one for non-readers. Yeah. And he was like, do you think they should let people who can't read hunt? I'm like, yeah, because if you can't read, I think eventually you're going to need to hunt. What else is for dinner, dumbass? That squirrel ain't coming in on his own.
Oh, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Wednesday, November 2nd, 2022. 6 days till the beginning of the end. How you doing, kids? You are jcontheline.com. I have no idea what yesterday's podcast sounded like because I was barely here. If you were, then you know that I was suffering from some sort of vertigo-type ailment. About 90% of it is gone now, and I have my brain back. Yesterday, I was just holding on to the desk here so I wouldn't spin off and hit the wall or the ceiling. I have no idea. I have known when I did this yesterday, and I was talking about it, all these people who have suffered from vertigo in the past started coming out of the woodwork and telling me stuff, and apparently there's stuff you can buy over the counter at the drugstore that will help you out too. So we'll see how it goes today. I've been trying to cut the grass for 3 days and have not been able to do that. You'll be able to do pretty much whatever you want to do outside here. There is really no end in sight in the St. Louis area for temperatures that are way above normal for this time of year, and it just continues to go, and it just goes and goes, looking all the way into the middle of next week, and still, you know, a couple of 50s and 60s, but I think Monday 71 again. So the hell is going on? Something we know from watching the fading of the St. Louis Cardinals is that your big guys have to come up big in the playoffs, and especially in the World Series. And here we go. Last night, bang-a-da. Again, keep in mind that the Houston Astros entered the World Series heavy favorites. And, you know, the announcer's even saying if the Phillies could just make this into a, you know, a decent competition, I think everybody would be proud of Philadelphia. But the Astros are going to win. As a matter of fact, you might as well just turn off the TV now because the Astros are going to win this thing. They're so heavily favored last night. 7-0 after five innings. And that, in fact, was the final score. So now Philadelphia with a 2-1 lead. They continue that series in Philly tonight. But your big guy's got to come up big. And I will tell you this. If for some reason you have the game recorded, go back and watch that Bryce Harper home run. But more than watch it, listen to it. Turn the volume up really high. And when he hits that thing, I can't remember the last time I heard a ball more solidly hit. I can remember Mark McGwire home runs that didn't sound like they exploded off the bat like this Bryce Harper thing last night. And I'm not really that much of a fan of Bryce Harper or the Phillies, but I hate the Astros even more. I hate cheaters. And they are, at least until somebody on the internet comes along and says that the Phillies are cheating, because you know that that's coming too. It's just whatever happens now, whatever happens, within hours, somebody on the internet comes along with an alternate set of facts. The only problem is they're not facts. It's just shit that people made up. And the people who are all over Mr. Pelosi, because they say, yeah, he was at a gay bar till 2:00 in the morning and he brought that guy home. And that's what really happened. You know, that's what really happened, even though there isn't one molecule of evidence to support it or to support anything other than the guy was asleep, an 82-year-old man asleep at 2:00 in the morning. Of course, we know that's a lie because people in their 80s at 2:00 in the morning are calling into KMOX.
Hello? Is this Jim White?
So, of course, the alternate set of facts is correct. By the way, the police have apparently got a security video of the break-in, so that's going to really complicate things now for the conspiracy theorists. Here, you want facts? I got facts for you. Let me get a little light on the subject here. Yep, here we go. Exxon, it turns out, has, just in the third quarter alone, tripled its earnings. $18.7 billion earnings in the third quarter. That, by the way, comes out to $2,350 per second, right? $2,350 per second in the entire third quarter. BP and Shell, their earnings doubled. Inflation continues to be a problem. Groceries, just general groceries, up 13%. Restaurants, you want to eat out? 8.5% increase. Bread is experiencing a 16.2% rise, and dairy 15.9%. The question is, why? Is it really these corporations having to pass along the cost of operating to the consumers, or people just gone nuts, gone wild? Corporate America gone wild. Oh, back to this DePappy guy who attacked Nancy Pelosi's husband. They showed where he lived yesterday. Remember the scene in Scent of a Woman? And you see that Al Pacino's character is living in a garage behind the house. Cut that garage size down by 2/3. And that's where this DePappy guy, this is a 44-year-old guy, somewhere in his 40s. And he's living like in a 250-square-foot garage. And when I say garage, that's almost giving it more credit than it deserves. It was more like a shed. So, you know, he was mentally stable. Down through the years, like when I was in college, the hottest thing going in terms of female vocalists was Linda Ronstadt. And when Linda Ronstadt was going to put on a new album, people got pretty excited and everybody ran out and got it. And we were playing it all the time because we loved Linda Ronstadt as, you know, boys in our late teens, early 20s. We really dug her. Okay, so we went out, got the album, we played it, we really enjoyed it. Some of us fantasized a little bit about her, and you combine beauty with great songs, great lyrics, and great music, you know, good production values. And it's no wonder that Linda Ronstadt was commanding the amount of attention and respect as an artist that she got. That having been said, this Taylor Swift thing is out of control, all right? And I mean really out of control. This isn't even fandom anymore. This is like a twisted, semi-sick obsession. She now has all 10 positions on the Billboard Top 10, and that's never been done before. I've heard some of the songs. I got a 13-year-old daughter, and she's not really into Taylor Swift. That's not really considered cool, but I think it's one of those things where a lot of the kids are listening, but they don't want to admit it. So it's not like I haven't heard the songs. I've heard a lot of the songs. I guess they're okay. Whole thing seems a little out of whack to me. They had her on Saturday Night Live last season when one of her albums came out or something. She was sitting there doing a 10-minute song. And again, about somebody she dated and, you know, done her wrong. At this point, you have to ask the question, why would anybody go out with her? Why would anybody date her? First of all, this squeaky clean bullshit is annoying. And what? Never mind. I'm not. Why am I talking about Taylor Swift? Move on. Let's talk about money. $1.2 billion. Drawing tonight, I believe, at 10 o'clock for the lotto. $1.2 billion. It was on this date in 2016 that we took my dad's Chicago Cubs baseball jacket and hung it next to the TV in the ninth inning of the Cubs game against Cleveland Indians. My dad lived in Chicago the majority of his life, and his entire life never saw the Cubs win a World Series. Then he passed away, and I know, obviously, from having been in St. Louis all these years, you don't want to hear about the Cubs, but they did win the World Series for the first time in, I don't know, 6,000 years on this date back in 2016. The Aztecs documented the last Cubs World Series prior to 2016. Joe Buck still gets tremendous amount of heat from fans in other cities for the way he called the game and the final out. It was history, for heaven's sakes. A couple of legal notes. My divorce from my first wife took effect on this date. It was finalized on this date in 1999. I did not party, though. On this date in 1990, there were some comments that were made on the air, not by me, incidentally. I was part of the discussion, but the offending comment actually came from the guy who was my on-air partner at the time. But when Karen Carroll, who was the inspirational leader of Y98, she was the general manager of that radio station, did not like some references to plastic surgery. And on this date in 1990, filed a lawsuit against me, even though I wasn't even the one who said it. When it finally came up on the docket, the judge took one look at it and just took it and ripped it up and threw it out. Now, the filing of the lawsuit, you know, my name got dragged through the mud by the TV stations and newspaper. And of course, Danny Brick, are you outraged? What is, use the term like, on air talent said about, shut up. And that's the way those things go. It's the same thing like the thing with my incident with Carney. When somebody files a lawsuit or takes legal action against you, it's split for 3 days. Must have been a slow news week. They didn't have anything to talk about. So for 3 days, they were talking about this incident with Carney. And then, of course, when I say, oh, you want to go to court? Fine. Let's go to court. And at the end of the legal proceeding, I was completely exonerated. Totally exonerated. Guess what? No coverage. And then the guy who was writing the story for the Post-Dispatch was an employee, still is, a longtime employee of the radio station where Carney works and has been lobbying for a full-time job there for, like, I don't know, 20 years. And he's the one doing the story for the Post. That sounds fair. But the thing was tossed out, and the judge even made sort of a little joke about it, saying that, this is the state of American journalism at this time, which is a pretty sarcastic comment and also pretty funny. And I don't ever recall judges doing stuff like that. I'm not even sure they're supposed to do stuff like that, but he did. And I just don't remember this idiot, Rich Koster, who used to be on Donnybrook, was like, the judge couldn't have given her a dollar, a symbolic thing. Give her a dollar. Like, no dumb shit. He was saying that I didn't break any law. Well, first of all, I wasn't even the one who made the comment. But the show didn't say anything that was, as they say in the legal world, actionable. That was the whole point. We weren't guilty of anything. I should give her a dollar. Give her a dollar. Symbolic. No. We won. She lost. Ugh. And on this date, 1985, I met outside the downtown Marriott, right across the street from the old Busch Stadium, the program director, the guy who was running the Big 89, WLS, in Chicago, the station I grew up on as a boy through my teenage and college years. Then he offered me a job. I had to turn it down. what they were offering me was the same amount of money that I was actually making at the time. I was like, the money is $150,000. I was like, the money, I take my, you're offering me $150,000 of what I'm making here. Okay. I take that to Chicago, and because of the cost of living there, it's like the equivalent of about $75,000. And while $75,000 a year is an admirable amount of money, especially back in 1985, that's just not, I can't really justify that. So I had to pass on it. The guy they ended up hiring was there for like 30 years, and then he died. I liked the movie Julie and Julia. Every once in a while, you need a movie like that. You can't just sit there watching Vin Diesel movies. You got to have something to clear the palate. And Nora Ephron made the movie. She made When Harry Met Sally, and You Got Mail, and all those sort of sappy things. Although When Harry Met Sally, so that was an awesome movie and a great script. But if you're unfamiliar with the movie, it's a real life story of a woman in the New York City area who was pretty poor. She was married. They were living in one of those, like, you know, studio apartments or a one bedroom thing over a delicatessen in Brooklyn or something. And she picks up a copy of the Julia Child cooking book and says, I'm going to make every single one of these recipes. I'm going to do the whole thing. And the movie was about what she was doing, but then it would flash back to Meryl Streep as Julia Child. Stanley Tucci, great actor, played her husband in the movie, and it chronicled her life at the time that she was learning how to cook and subsequently ended up authoring, what was it called, The Art of French Cooking or something like that. The movie was very enjoyable to watch. Very enjoyable to watch. Well, that woman, like I said, was based on a true story. That woman was only 49 years old. She died yesterday. And they think that, I think I read it right, that it was complications from long COVID. And you're thinking to yourself, this is what my reaction was. I'm thinking, okay, now watch, because she's a chef, they're going to get a picture of her here, and she's going to be 350 pounds. No, she had a reasonably attractive figure, and so that wasn't it. Although, I don't know how anybody who works in the food industry, there's two ways of looking at this, because I remember when I was selling popcorn at the Colony Theater at 59th and Kedzie on the southwest side of Chicago, back when I was a teenager, you know, 16, 17 years old, still in high school, and we used to sell popcorn and candy and all the stuff you'd get at the candy counter at the theater. And after 2 years of that, I think I went something like 15 years without ever eating one kernel of popcorn, because I had seen and smelled so much popcorn in that 2 years that it took me 15 years to get it out of my system. To this day, I still don't eat a lot of popcorn. So that's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is, if you're cooking and you have all of this rich, delicious food with all of these sauces, or as Dan Dierdorf would say, sauces, and you got all that stuff there, you know, how do you end up not being 500 pounds? Got to be constantly sampling that stuff. But I guess she got COVID sometime like last year and never really completely recuperated. And at 49, checks out yesterday. Rappers continue to shoot at each other. This kid yesterday was only 28. On Monday's late, this is a bad month for James Corden. So first of all, he announces he's quitting his show. Then they say, you know, he goes into restaurants and just acts like a total dickwad. And now yesterday, well, it was actually on Monday's show, James Corden told a joke that was almost identical to something Ricky Gervais said in a 2018 Netflix special. Ricky Gervais was watching or heard about it, called him out, and yesterday James Corden had to say, oh, yeah, I lifted that. I didn't know Ricky watched the show. You like Adele? Do you know we're saying her name wrong? She now says that her name is supposed to be pronounced Adele. Or Hodale. That's what she says. Bono says he dozed off in the Lincoln bedroom when he was visiting the president at the White House. He blames red wine, which he's allergic to, but he says Obama tells people that he drank them under the table. And now there really is no turning back. There really is no turning back. Halloween is out of the way, and it is officially the Christmas season, because that's how it goes. The Christmas trees at Costco have been up since the 4th of July. And like I said, now it's you're like on this monorail, and there's no way of turning back. You're like locked into some sort of a seat on a roller coaster, and you're thinking to yourself, no, I've changed my mind. I went off of this goddamn thing, and it's too late. It's moving, and now there's no way to get off. And that's sort of how I view the holidays. Gwyneth Paltrow released her Goop holiday gift guide yesterday. How about a Gucci waist bag holder for $420? Since, you know, your dog's poo bags deserve to be carried in style. How about a Rowan hair color kit for dogs? You don't like the color of your dog, you change the color. It's washable color sticks and coat shimmer for your fur baby, $50. Higher dose two-person infrared sauna for $8,000. If you got that amount of disposable income. A Bollinweb 24-karat gold razor set. What? You use plastic razors, you peasant? $425 for that. Kiki DeMont, I can't read this. It's a bathroom chair. The bathroom? No, it's a bedroom chair. Oh, maybe it's a sex chair. It's a sex chair. $28,500. Get on the floor. Flamingo estate-free range composted manure. $75.
I thought I told you not to go out there and buy a bunch of shit.
I thought you meant shit, honey. This was actual shit. A Tapper gold-plated AirPod chain, $110. Kama Sutra dinner napkins. So you invite grandma over for dinner, and you want to set the table? Here's the knives and the forks and the plates. And remember when you used to 69 grandpa? A cowgirl sex machine, whatever it is, $1,700. And the light phone. You use your own SIM card. And you can call, text, use navigation and alarms. It sounds to me like a phone. $300. Last night, Weird Al Yankovic was on Jimmy Fallon. And they showed a clip of the movie, which really didn't look that good. But Jimmy Fallon apparently saw a sneak preview. It was just going on and on and on. I mean, it's sort of like a contest between Jimmy Fallon and Howard Stern these days as to who can get a big celebrity on television and then fawn all over them. Between Jimmy Fallon, Howard Stern now, and Guy Fieri, everything, everybody they have on the show, or in the case of Guy Fieri, every meal he has is fantastic. You can't tell me that Guy Fieri goes into some, you know, little dive restaurant that they feature, and the food always looks really, really good, but you can't tell me that in how many years has he been doing this thing? 10, 12 years? They didn't take a bite of something once and go, this shrimp fried. No, everything tastes fantastic. I ain't buying it. Anyhow, Jimmy Fallon actually tried to make the case for this Weird Al Yankovic thing comes out on Friday on the Roku channel. And he suggested that there's Oscar buzz on this. And if you've seen the trailer and you say, I didn't know that Weird Al Yankovic in real life had a fairly long-term relationship with Madonna. I didn't know that. Well, you know why I didn't know it? Because they made it up for the movie. All right, late night tonight, George Lopez. I'm with Jimmy Fallon. Nick Kroll, I'm with Kimmel. Stephen Colbert's got Senator Elizabeth Warren. Seth Meyers, Daniel Radcliffe, and there he is, Weird Al Yankovic. Birthdays today. We rarely lead with somebody who has passed away, but in 2016 we lost Keith Emerson of Emerson, Lake & Palmer. He took his own life. Nelly is 48, David Schwimmer, 56. Katie Lang, she has The Constant Craving, you know, 61. Michael Buffer, let's get ready to rumble! Sorry there. He is 70, 78? He's almost 80 years old. Let's get ready to rumble. But first, I got to talk to my grandkids. Pat Buchanan, 84. 56 years ago today, 1966, Walt Disney says, got a little cough here. I'm going to go see the doctor. They do an x-ray and they find a spot on his left lung. A month later, he was dead. 66. The Soup Nazi episode of Seinfeld aired on this day 27 years ago. The year was 1995. 7 years ago. Well, we did the story yesterday about that representative for the Rams who had all that memorabilia he had collected for like 30 years being around professional football, and he was going to use that basically as his retirement. He was going to sell all that stuff off and then not even have to pay taxes on it because it was all going to be cash. And then his house burned to the ground and took it with him. Johnny Mathis, same thing happened to him 7 years ago in 2015. Everything he had, nobody hurt, by the way. Haven't done any Donald Trump news in a while. Well, it turns out Deborah Norville, who's a nice gal, by the way, we've had her on the show many times, and she got caught up in that whole Today Show thing with Jane Pauley, and that wasn't her fault. She was trying to be, they hired her. She's trying to do the best job she can. The whole thing just blew up, and she's been on Inside Edition now for years. And even the show gets a little goofy once in a while. She does respectable work, considering it is a tabloid show. And I have friends who have known her for a very, very long time, and they say that she is a wonderful gal. So it turns out that like one of her best friends, and I don't mean best friends for like the last 5 or 10 years. This is like all the way back to when they were in their 20s or something. It was some supermodel who was always on the cover of Vogue and everything. And they were showing this stuff on Inside Edition yesterday. And they basically said, this woman has not spoken about this at all. Very, very beautiful biracial gal. And she's doing one interview. And she's only doing it because she and I have been very, very close friends for, I don't know, 30, 40 years. And so she is going to talk about the 3 years, I believe it was, on and off, that she dated Donald Trump.
What prompts her to speak out now, she says, is an anecdote in Confidence Man, the new best-selling book by New York Times reporter Maggie Haberman. A comment Haberman says the future president made sometime after meeting Young's parents.
And what she quotes him as saying is, you got your looks from your mother and your intelligence from your dad. The white side.
Yeah, that's true.
And Carr, I see you like breathing and I'm like, I don't want to ask you about this because I can tell this is not a happy recollection.
Because it sounds, when someone says something in jest, are they kidding? You know, it's, I don't know.
And when he said that, you corrected him.
Yes. It wasn't like a fight or anything like that. It was just more like, don't say that. It's not funny.
How did he respond when you said, you can't say that?
He said, I was just joking. I was just kidding. You know, I don't think that.
When Charlottesville happened, and then President Trump stood there and said,
but you also had people that were very fine people on both sides.
A lot of people thought he was a racist that day.
You don't have to ask me how someone is. You can see how they are by what they say and the comments that they make.
It has been 6 years since she's spoken to Donald Trump.
I called to congratulate him for winning president, as one would.
Do you think Donald will run again?
I think he will, yeah. I think he wants to.
Do you think he should run?
No.
Anybody surprised by that? Now, they ran a Jordan Klepper special on Comedy Central last night. I'm sure you can call it up or get it on demand. It's really, really good. Good in a way that is also very, very disturbing. If you're not familiar with this guy's work, what he does is he goes to like these Republican rallies, the big Trump rallies, and he interviews people and he just talks to them and they say this insane stuff. And then he acts like he's agreeing with them. And they end up incriminating themselves in, well, you can listen to some of this.
Big Trump supporter, not a Whitmer fan.
Her numbers are pretty good right now. Whitmer's up 16.
Oh, that's baloney. I don't believe those polls.
You don't trust polls?
If they're done by the Republicans, yeah, I trust the polls. Yeah.
They're telling you what you want to hear.
That's correct.
Then yes, you trust the yes. poll. It's important for polls not to reflect reality, yes, exactly, but to reflect yes. your reality.
Exactly.
Well, I think you have to listen to somebody like Adam Kinzinger and take him seriously. And the fact that Civil War is something he's not shying away from is very serious. I mean, we look about what's happening this week with Paul Pelosi and you see violent acts. This isn't just rhetoric that people aren't acting on. This is rhetoric that infects the mind. And when you have misinformation and no shared realities, you have people taking violent action based on shoddy info. You also have a bunch of adults in the room who are acting like children, and that's a recipe for disaster. So even though we can laugh at the hypocrisies out there, I shudder at the ramifications of them, and I scold those who are peddling information, misinformation, because it oftentimes travels faster than facts.
Well, I mean, the Elon Musk thing, I think, proves that, right? You're probably in your next series of interviews when you go out going to be hearing a lot of the conspiracy theory that he tweeted out reflected right back at you.
Yeah, I think it's all they need. Something like that should have a reckoning. Does this kind of language create a violent atmosphere? And I think when I will engage somebody on that question, instead of looking and having that very uncomfortable conversation, they will use a random piece of information Elon Musk sent out as a way to deflect from actually looking inside and having difficult conversations. Americans don't want to have these difficult conversations, and misinformation is a way of getting in the way of actually dealing with the consequences of your action. But yet again, accountability is not America's thing.
Yeah, and last question, when you talk to these folks, do you get a sense that any of them can be brought back, that reality can somehow penetrate the sort of fog of misinformation that they're in?
No.
Why did I know that was going to be the answer? And finally, Colbert last night. Meanwhile,
Champagne House G.H. Moom has invented a champagne bottle that can dispense bubbly in space. Fantastic. Who doesn't want drunk astronauts?
Houston. Hey, Houston, I have a problem. I love you. You're my best friend, Houston. Hey, let's do karaoke. You were my voice when I couldn't.
And finally, a Florida woman was arrested for kicking and biting a man during a struggle for a sex toy. He apparently was using the sex toy on her. And then when the session, shall we say, was over, he said, I need my sex toy back. And she was like, what? So what? What? So you can use it on somebody else? And they end up in a big fight, a big struggle for the sex toy, or as it's known in Florida, foreplay. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Wednesday, November 22nd, 2022 is in the can. 6 days until the beginning of the end. We're here every weekday morning right about this time. Please tell everybody you know that we're here. It's absolutely free. It's real easy, as you know. You just click twice and boom, you're listening. If you miss anything, we archive everything here. Email me, JC at JCOnTheLine.com. Facebook, the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. I'm in jail for another 3 weeks, so there will be no new posts for that period of time. Have a great day. Meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.